Peace, love, and harmony, family. Welcome back to another episode of Talk Tuesday. I am your host, B Harmony, and as always, your support means the absolute world to me. Thank you guys for listening. I know you guys are probably wondering, yo, what's going on? She's kind of being inconsistent. We used to get episodes every Tuesday. Now we're getting them every other Tuesday. You guys, stay with me. There's a method to my madness. You guys know I'm always transparent with you. So let me just give you a brief breakdown of how Talk Tuesdays are going to be moving forward. So we are bringing Talk Tuesdays every other Tuesday now. We're going to let it marinate, let it get some plays, you know, let you guys share it with your friends and have the conversations about it. And if you guys remember last week's episode on Talk Tuesdays, mental health, or I'm sorry, the week before last week's episode on mental health, check out the episode before this, you guys, mental health. We talked about Stereo. I introduced you guys to Stereo, which is a live podcasting app. Some of you guys have went over there and actually started following me, and you reached out and let me know that you followed me on Stereo. So thank you guys for that support. It definitely means the world. I want to engage with my listeners. You know, I want to talk to you guys. You guys are all over the world listening to me, and I want to know what's going on in your country. I want you guys to reach out to me. Let's have these political conversations. Let's all be harmonic and be on one accord and one page. So definitely go and download Stereo. And if you don't know how to do it, go to your app store or Google Play or whatever type of phone you have. Download the app called Stereo. There's also a link in this description right now where you can click on it and go and download that as well, and make sure you follow B Harmony, you guys. So in keeping with the spirits of every other Tuesday, we're at this week's episode, and this week's episode we're definitely going to focus in on vaccinations. What is a vaccination? How is it important? Why do we even need them? Are vaccinations even real? Especially right now during COVID-19 pandemic, you know, like, of course, we all hear about the vaccinations and how they're going to be mandatory. Some people are panicking. Some people are saying they're going to do it. Some are not. It's a widespread panic going on. But you know what? My mind doesn't operate that way. I'm more concerned with, well, how is it that all the years that we've been on this earth and AIDS and HIV has been around and we can't find a cure for that? We can't find a cure for cancer. We can't stop strokes from happening, heart attacks, miscarriages. We can't even stop certain STDs and STIs. But you're telling me the same year that a global pandemic hit this world, we found a cure for it that quickly? Now for me, either the world is moving too fast and gonna put out some things that are really gonna be detrimental to us, or they've been playing around and they have the vaccinations to all of these diseases and they've been holding out on us. It's up to you to decide. But for me over here, I think there's something a little tricky going on with this COVID-19. I've always said it from the beginning and I'm going to continue saying that, especially the way that things are handled. So let's dig in a little bit deeper, you guys. Let's get into it. Let's talk that real talk. Let's talk about what makes sense and what doesn't. Do we have the necessary knowledge to even apply a vaccination to the world? Like, that's not something that's small. You're talking about healthcare workers, elders, minorities, babies, youth. It's insane what we're talking about. Because essentially what we're talking about is we're talking about biological preparation providing active immunity in our body. Like, they're creating something in a lab that's going to activate with our natural chemistry in order to fight off a disease. Now, whether you guys believe this disease is man-made or a stronger strain of the flu, either way it goes, COVID-19 is here. It's not going anywhere, right? So what is a vaccine? A vaccine typically contains an agent that resembles a disease-causing microorganism and is often made from weakened or killed forms of the microbe, its toxins, or one of its surface proteins. So what did I just read, you guys? What does that even mean? Like, a vaccine is made from a weakened or killed form of the microbe. What is a microbe? A microbe is a way for basically tiny bugs that cause diseases, right? So microbe comes from the word microorganism, which in fact means, you know, it's a shortened term for it, you guys. So a tiny amount of bugs that cause diseases. So go back to vaccination definition, right? So a vaccine typically contains an agent that resembles a disease causing tiny agent that causes disease in itself and is often made from a weakened version of that. That's put into our bodies, and we're supposed to fight it off. So you're putting a weaker amount of this disease into my body and expecting my body to fight it off. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I'm unprepared for my enemy, then how can I be ready for war? So if you're injecting me with this vaccine and you're telling me that my body can fight it off, well, how do I know my body can fight it off if A, I've never had this in my body? So how do I know it's really going to work? And B, what type of side effects is it going to have when you put this microbe and its toxins inside of my body and expect my body to fight it off? Is it supposed to fight off all of it, or is a little piece of it supposed to live to make sure that I don't get a worser strain of it, or it doesn't multiply or produce more? You get what I'm saying? So with this vaccine, it gets deep, you guys. It gets so much deeper. And not only that, but there's so many side effects that we don't know about. Besides the president telling us to swallow bleach, besides the president telling us not to take this one, take that vaccine, oh, he doesn't take this anymore, just the whole vaccine conversation alone is one in itself. But to take it a step further, let's talk about the Paris Peace Forum, right? So the Paris Peace Forum is an international, basically like an international meeting of people from all around the world who come together to try to combat diseases and develop world countries and things like that, right? So let's focus for this portion of the Paris Peace Forum. We're only going to focus on the international level of the pandemic of COVID-19 because they discussed a bunch. Now, this meeting only happens once a year. So one time every year from November 11th to November 13th. So that's just recently because we're making this podcast today on December 8th. And while this was going on just recently, November 11th through the 13th of 2020, you have various speakers who are at the events. And among those speakers is, of course, Melinda Gates. For those of you guys who don't know who Melinda Gates is, she is the wife of Bill Gates, apparently, and the founder of, you know, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, right? So she's a spokesperson for it. She goes out to the events and she speaks and everything. So what she said at this Paris Peace Forum is that they're committing basically $70 million to get timely vaccines for low and middle income families and countries. So that took me back to an interview actually where I heard her talking about who she believes should be the first to get the vaccine. And while she's doing the interview, she talks about, you know, racial and gender disparities under the pandemic. So you guys take a listen to this interview. It's going to be a little clip for you guys, so the link will definitely be in the bio if you want to check out the whole thing. So let's listen to it.
Let's talk about that in the context of COVID and how this, you know, how this affects us, again, around the world, but especially here in the States, based on race and gender. There are differentiations, and maybe, Bill, maybe you could handle race and Melinda gender, but maybe you could delve into that a little bit.
Well, yeah, it's certainly troubling that where the disaggregated data has come through, it does show not only the age thing, which is number one, and the comorbidities at number two, but also a significant racial component. And that's likely to be multifactorial, partly general health condition to begin with, partly job type, household size, multi-generational household, you know, living in the dense parts of the urban areas. And, you know, we're also looking at, you know, all sorts of medical things. What is it that we can intervene to cut this down? So if in advance, if you'd asked, would there be different outcomes by race, we would not have expected that. It's a, you know, stunning and disappointing result that we're seeing in many countries. The UK has seen this as well. For a while, the disease did not take off in Africa. Sadly, it looks like that was just a delay in it getting going because now, despite the younger age mix, the cases in South Africa and other parts of Africa are taking off, even somewhat behind Asia and South America, but still with a very, very scary trend. So, you know, there's a lot to be done on the intervention side to reduce that exposure, to prioritize the protection that the inner city communities deserve on this.
Yes, and I was just going to add on the race. I think also it's exposed for us the gaps in our healthcare system. You know, you are not treated equally in this healthcare system, and that is something that needs to be fixed. On the gender side, I think, again, it's exposing the gaps that were already there that we so often as Americans don't want to look at. So just to give you some statistics, women are losing their jobs at a disproportionate rate to men. A lot of it has to do with the sectors that women work in, like retail and hospitality. But even as people start to go back to work, fewer women are coming back to the workforce as a percentage compared to men. So those are the statistics for the United States. Now, the other issue that's going on is we know women are doing 2.5 more times unpaid labor at home. And they and their husbands are reporting that when it comes to teaching the kids, trying to make sure they're online, fixing the meals, cleaning up, babysitting the kids, caring for the elderly, women are doing that more at home. Whether you're a white collar female worker or whether you're a person who lives in the inner city and you get on the bus to go to your job. And so what it means is that we cannot reopen this economy the way we want to unless we deal with the unpaid labor. And we are the only industrialized nation in the world that doesn't have a paid family medical leave policy. That's just the truth. And so we have it now in 8 states and in DC. We finally have it for federal military workers. And you saw Congress address this in 2 of the stimulus packages. But we have to update our thinking and realize that we're not in society anymore where the man, if it's a 2-person headed household that's married with a child, it's not that the man goes off to the work and the woman stays home with the children. That was what was going on at the mid-century. But today, of most married families with a child, 64% of them both go out and work. So if we're going to take care of the family and take care of capitalism and the economy, you've got to address that issue. And it is absolutely addressable. Many, many countries have done it with finesse. There are many great policies out there. In the United States, it's time we did it.
And I couldn't agree with Melinda Gates more. Update our thinking. When she said that, she hit it right on the nail. That's good money right there, people. We need to update our thinking in the way that it comes to COVID-19, especially by way of vaccines, because it's not only affecting us, but it's affecting our future. If we get the vaccine, say you have a child later on in life, we don't know how that vaccine that's still living in you with the microorbs inside of you, the microbes, I'm sorry, I said microorbs. I don't know why I said that, you guys, but the microbes that's inside you can be transferred to your baby. You know what I mean? We don't know what the lasting effects are. So she's absolutely right. We need to update our thinking. And while I was updating my thinking, you know, it kind of dawned on me, well, Bill and Melinda Gates have nothing to do with healthcare. They're tech savvy, right? Didn't they make their money from tech companies and things like that? So I understand how they're donating $70 million to help accelerate the pandemic and get vaccines out and everything like that. But my question behind it is why? Why is it people who made their money in a totally unrelated field persistent on making sure that there's vaccines? Not only are they persistent on donating the $70 million, but Bill Gates just said this maybe a few days ago that there could possibly be 6 COVID vaccines that will become available in spring of 2021. Now, that's an interesting fact to me. Not only do we have a cure for coronavirus, we have a vaccine, quote unquote, for coronavirus, but we have 6 of them available. 6? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people? 6 vaccines available right now that they're working on that could become available spring 2021. Okay, well, so many questions arise. Who are these 6? Who's the ones who's going to implement them? Who's making the rules of them? What are they going to bypass in order to get this out by a specific deadline? Because as we all know, COVID-19, it thrives in cold weather, right? So spring is right around the perfect time for COVID-19 to start dying. It starts getting hotter. You know, girls start wearing their spring dresses. The flowers are blooming. It's a nice time of the year for most parts of the world, right? So why is it that they're trying to give us a vaccine and they're saying that most of the vaccines will be ready by spring 2021? If we have a reaction to it, is it going to be less significant because of the weather and everything? So will we not notice the symptoms per se as opposed to them hitting us in the wintertime and showing symptoms? You have to think about these things when we hear about vaccines. So when Bill Gates was asked about the 6 vaccine in a virtual summit, you know, he talked about the the way that quote unquote Western regulators, which is us here in the United States of America, of course, because although we're in a pandemic, United States of America is looked at the forefront. Western regulators are doing a great job, blah, blah, blah. They've ran phases of the trials. They've ran three, two, one, two, three, and four phases to make sure that they're paying attention for any type of side effects and looking at efficacy, right? So while they're looking at efficacy, they're also making sure that it's distributed in somewhat of an equitable way. It's not about how rich you are, but it's about can you get access to it? How much access do you have to equity? And that equity this time is the vaccines. So you see, it's all a money play here, because if you don't have, if you're not in a position of power, then you might not be the first one. So what is Bill and Melinda Gates saying? They're saying that they're going to create a purchasing fund for minorities, right? So let's rewind back to the Paris Peace Forum, you guys. So there was three things that they specifically discussed during this forum. The first one was space for solutions. How are they going to create space for actual solutions? Not something you sweep under the rug, but actual solutions. The second one was space for debates. Each country needs to be able to handle this pandemic according to their country. There doesn't need to be a universal rule that will make it so every country has to handle the pandemic the same, because every country is not the same. They are not being affected the same. We just heard in the clip how Africa wasn't affected at first, and then, whoa, all of a sudden they're infected. And not only are they infected, they're infected at such a disproportionate rate that they're being wiped out over there. Now, I wonder in itself, how is it that it was fine and now it's not? Did something change with the reporting data, or was it always there in the first place and it wasn't reported because that's the way that it was supposed to be? So I'm thinking that there's all types of conspiracies going on. These quote-unquote Western regulators are really out here trying to perpetrate. Even think about it from your whatever country you're in listening to this. How did your government handle the pandemic? And do you agree with it? For me personally, here in the United States, being in California, you know, we handled the pandemic very strangely. We locked down. We slowly but surely came off of lockdown, only to go back on lockdown, then to come off of it, then to impose a curfew, then to come off of the curfew, and now we're back locked down. So why is it that there is such a form of control that's important? Why is it that the vaccine has to come out at a specific time? And why is it that it's only going to be available to a certain demographic and population first and foremost? And we already know that they've donated $70 million. That's just the most recent donation. That brings their total donations for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation up to about $156 million. And they're focusing in on two vaccinations in particular. That's Gavix, Covax, and the other one I believe is called CEPI, C-E-P-I. So those are the two that they are making the promises is and saying that everyone in every nation is going to owe them a debt. So with that being said, why is it that they're creating a purchasing fund for minorities, meaning that black and browns outside of healthcare workers should be the next ones to get it? Well, that's a pretty interesting and bold statement, right? Let me play this clip for you guys.
The Pfizer COVID-19 clinical vaccine trial is happening in Memphis. It's a blind trial, so some people will get a placebo, other people will get the vaccine. But they're telling us they have enough white people who are participating in this trial, but they need more minorities, and that can be difficult. COVID-19 vaccine trials are happening all over the country, and they need more participants.
No, ma'am. I'm not sure, like, what the outcome will be.
But according to a 2020 Pew Research study, 44% of black people would not get a COVID-19 vaccine if it were available. And getting them to participate in clinical trials, it's an even tougher sell.
It's difficult to get African Americans to participate. And I think this arises from the past experiences, the past injustices that have occurred through like examples like the Tuskegee syphilis experiment.
Or how cells that were obtained from a black woman named Henrietta Lack in the 50s changed the way doctors obtained consent from patients. Dr. Mona Wicks, chairwoman of health promotion and disease prevention at UT Health Science Center, says those medical mishaps from years ago can still be felt today. But researchers need more black people to agree to the blind trial.
because African Americans are disproportionately affected. So they need to be in these trials to see if the drugs will work.
Black people make up 61% of all COVID-19 fatalities in Shelby County. Dr. Wick says the process to finalize a COVID-19 vaccine will be a long one. She says she's confident that it won't be available before next year.
Okay, you guys, so why is it that we need minorities to participate in these vaccine trials and to take the vaccine? I mean, after all, we do have a smaller portion of people in the world compared to that who are being affected by this vaccine. Well, let's dig into it. We lack economic resources, right? That's the biggest thing right there. And people are banking on the fact that minorities lack the economic resources. Who are the ones who are the essential workers right now? Minorities. You don't see too many white-collar workers right now who are really sweating or, like, you know, nervous or anything about their future economy. Now, whether unemployment is helping or not, that's cool. But for the most part, those people who are going to work are your essential workers. And who are your essential workers? Your jobs with the warehouse, the retail, the grocery stores. Those are mainly the Black and brown community people, right? So they need us to participate in this trial so that they can see how it's going to affect us. Because if we don't let them put this in us, then they'll never know if it truly works. And that doesn't make sense in itself. Like, how is it that if you don't get enough Black and brown people in your trial, you don't know if it's really effective? That in itself makes me update my thinking on its own. So people, this podcast is not to scare you or to pass judgment on you. If you want to take the vaccine, that's all fine, but just make sure that you are updating your thinking. Think about it like this: for the women who are pregnant right now, who are deciding to have their babies in the hospital, you are going to have to vaccinate your child. What if you have your baby in after the spring of 2021? Now we're talking about coronavirus possibly being a mandatory vaccination for your child in order for you to even leave the hospital with your baby with the correct amount of vaccination, so that the hospital can say, okay, well, you're good. You vaccinated. You've complied with us. You can now take your baby into the world. They're fine. Think about it on an even grander scale. If you choose to have your baby in a hospital and not vaccinate, now you're looking at CPS coming to possibly take your baby because you're endangering the child, etc., etc. Or the flip side, you work with the doula and you have your baby at home. You want to send your child to school. They can't go to school because it's mandatory to have a COVID-19 vaccination. So now what do you do? So just make sure that whatever decision you make when it does come to vaccination, not just coronavirus vaccination, but any vaccination, that you do your research. Because if you don't know what they're putting into your body, why would you allow them to put something into your body? I'm not saying that we have to go to medical school and go do all the research and go to 8 years of school, 10 years and all this stuff, however it takes to long to become a person well-versed in medicine, but we can look at the ingredients ourselves and we could do the research. Just like they're doing the research, we may not have all of the tools that they have in the background and the education, but if we sit down and actually seek out the knowledge, we can find out anything. We need to ask questions about this vaccine. I'm glad that there's not enough Black and brown people participating in this study. We don't need to participate in this study. There's no reason to participate in this study. We were fine before it happened. We're going to be fine after it happened. But my question is, why is it such a disproportionate rate? And why is there such a desperate need for minorities to participate in this vaccine? Why is it such a push for minorities to get this vaccine? And why is Bill and Melinda Gates, who are basically the ones who are going to be controlling the entire vaccination process, not only with just the 6 vaccinations that they're saying they're coming out with in spring of 2021, but also because, you know, they have the patent on COVID-19. Like, if you guys don't know about that, you guys definitely go and do research on it. They've been patenting the COVID-19 coronavirus disease. So this is not something that's new. If you guys know, you've seen memes and things like that, you see it on the back of Lysol bottles. Lysol's been around for how long? And it's been on there. So this is not something new that we're unfamiliar with. It's just hitting us at a global level, and it's hitting us so hard that we don't know what to do about it. So let's question everything that we're coming, everything that's coming to us. Let's question it. Let's question the vaccines. Let's question the data. Let's not participate in these studies until that they can show us why is there such a need for us to participate? Why is it disproportionate? Because at this point, I haven't heard any medical fact that says, okay, I'm predisposed. Well, how am I predisposed? because of this. So now you're telling me if diabetes is a predisposing factor to coronavirus, and this is just an example, people. I'm not saying diabetes makes you predisposed. It's an example. But if I'm pre-genetically disposed to diabetes, you're telling me that I'm more likely to get COVID-19. Well, why wasn't I told this as a child? Why wasn't I vaccinated as this as a child if I'm predisposed for something that has been around for how many years already? We need to update our thinking, like Melinda Gates said. That is the only thing that I agree with in the clip from earlier that you guys heard. Let's update our thinking. Let's make sure that we're doing the knowledge and take it a step further and actually go out and apply it by doing research, by reading studies. The Pew study that the lady just mentioned, the last clip that I played, that's a really good study. It's called PEW, and they do a lot of studies and things like that, especially with COVID-19. Go and check out their website. Go and check out their page. And of course, you guys, make sure, please make sure that whatever you guys are learning and applying, you're taking it back to your community, because at the end of the day, you're the one who has to live there. You live next to your neighbor. You know the little kid from down the street. You know the lady that always, you know, is nice and kind and picks up trash. This is your community where you live at, and you're the only one who has the power to control where you live at and to help people out. So with all of this being said, you guys, I want you guys to share this episode, double share this episode, triple share this episode, you guys, and make sure that for the next 2 weeks, so we're not going to be back this Tuesday coming up, but we'll be back the following Tuesday. And I want you guys to just really savor this episode and go out and do as much research as you can. You guys, come over to Stereo. Come talk to me on Stereo. I'm going to be going live on there. You guys, turn on the notification so you can see when. I'll definitely be making announcements to my schedule on the next podcast, where I'll have more information for you on where you guys can find me, how you can find me. You guys know you can find me on Instagram, HarmonyPolitics_ on Instagram, BHarmony on Stereo. You have BHarmony on YouTube. We're on podcasts. We're streaming everywhere. Share this with people, you guys. The support means the world to me. You guys that are all around the world listening to this, thank you. I want to know how you guys are doing out there. I pray that you guys are being safe. I pray your family is going to make it through this cold winter that we're having. And if you're not in winter where you are, then man, I hope the weather's lovely and you know you're not too stressed out right now. And if you are, just take a few moments to just center yourself and take some deep breaths and vibe out to Harmony Politics, past episodes and this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. It means the world to me. I definitely appreciate you guys. You guys, don't go and get that vaccine unless you're absolutely sure what they're putting into you. Don't do it. And for those of you guys who are worried that if you say no, that something can happen to you as far as legal-wise, the doctors have taken a Hippocratic oath, people. And in that Hippocratic oath, they have to tell you the truth. So if you ask, if I take this vaccine, is there a way that I can stop breathing? Is there a lethargic aspect to it? And they're going to tell you yes, because they don't know what all of the side effects are. And that is your way out. When they tell you yes, there's a possibility of some type of cardiac arrest or cardio rhythm or anything like that that has to do with your breathing, that is your way out, people. So let's not make them mandatory. We don't have to take what they're saying. We can question them. That is our right to question them as Americans, as citizens, as people in general. We have a right to question something that's being imposed on us and forced on us. I'm not saying let's start a riot and let's rise up and rebel. But what I'm saying, people, is let's ask questions at least. The bare minimum. Ask why. Everything that's being said, why, until we find an answer that appeases us or that actually makes sense to us, because we've updated our thinking already, right? So now let's make sure that the answers are updated too, according to our new level of thinking. All right, you guys, thank you guys so much for listening. I love you guys. Your support means the world to me. You guys can definitely donate right now. Make sure that you guys are donating a monthly amount to me. I definitely appreciate it. It allows me to continue to do the podcast, to focus, to be able to have that time to do research, especially right now during a pandemic. You know, your donations are amazing. Thank you guys. The feedback is amazing. You know, come over to Stereo so we can talk live and interact. Write me on Instagram, go to harmonypolitics.com, drop a comment, leave a like, whatever you'd like. Thank you guys. Until next time, peace and love, and please, please, please stay healthy.